We're giving away two audio DVDs of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's almost 8 hours of teaching. Here's how you can win. Find the Issues Etc. podcast at the iTunes store. Click Ratings and Reviews and write a review. Then send the text of your review to contest@issuesetc.org. The two listeners with the best reviews will receive the audio DVD of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. We'll announce the winners on Labor Day.
I need to get to Elysium.
Whoever has this has the power to override their whole system.
Hey, bring down the bone saw!
This ain't gonna kill me.
You can save everyone.
We're gonna break into the most heavily guarded place in the universe.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of the trailer of a science fiction movie. I don't go to the theater very much anymore. I have all those other ways of watching movies. Usually wait for it to come out. You don't have to wait too long. This is one I want to see, Elysium. And it looks like the Bourne Identity meets something very futuristic. And I love science fiction. So I wonder, this movie, as we review it here on Issues Etc., what kind of a story does it tell? And beyond all the flash and the special effects and the futuristic setting, what is the worldview of a movie like this, especially given the very powerful genre of science fiction? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Friday afternoon, August the 23rd, from the studio of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Ted Giese joins us here in the first part of the program. We're going to review the movie Elysium. A little bit later, we'll continue what we've been doing all week long, responding to the two finalists for the presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Today, we will hear from Bishop Elizabeth Eaton in a press conference that she gave very shortly after her election as presiding bishop of the ELCA and see what she has to say. She answers some very specific questions, and we'll get your reaction as well. It's audio open lines in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. Then, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got four soundbites that we will play for you. You listen, then you vote, and your vote determines which one will be the Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll give away the LPR bundle package, the I Have Issues t-shirt, the Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and notepad. All there as at least an opportunity to win the LPR bundle package when you play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour on this Friday afternoon. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet @issuesetc, or vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest, and he has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
First of all, your thoughts on the genre of science fiction, really in a lot of ways is kind of a blank canvas upon which very powerful stories are often told on film.
Yeah, science fiction, along with other genres, but science fiction, especially in the last 50, 60 years, is one of these genres that people can use to get ideas across in kind of a safe way by having setting it not in the everyday life that people lead. They can tackle bigger questions, things like questions about like racism, environmental issues, all sorts of different things can get tackled. So, for instance, you know, there was the Star Trek movie, Voyage Home, that dealt with saving the whales, and even the director who made Elysium, his first film called District 9, dealt with apartheid in South Africa. He was born in South Africa, lived in Canada for many years as well. So this is now he's looking at maybe another kind of big social question that he's got as an individual in his filmmaking with this film.
What is that question that Elysium deals with?
Well, Elysium deals with this idea that some people have of something called, or they would term it as, American exceptionalism. So this idea that America has all of the good things in the world, and they're kind of hogging them to themselves. And that if they could just reach out into the world a little more and help out, they could even the playing field. And this is something that over and over again through the course of this film comes out. And the thing in Elysium that's really interesting is that it looks like a dystopic film. Like, you've probably seen movies like Blade Runner, or there's the movie called Brazil. There's lots of movies that are dystopia. Like, they're the kind of like this really awful future kind of a thing. And this, though, in interviews and stuff, he said that it's not intended to be about the future, it's intended to be about right now. So his dystopia of the future is a dystopia of the current. And that becomes social commentary. That's what he's trying to talk about, placing it in right now. Now, when you're watching it and you're an American or a Canadian or anybody probably who's been paying attention to the news, you're watching the film, and then all of a sudden you hear things like, you know, that there's a ship and it's undocumented. Or you'll be listening and all of a sudden they'll say something about, this is Homeland Security related stuff. So they're definitely placing it in kind of like an American political terminology. Like, as you're actually watching the film, you'll hear these cue words that'll, he wants you to be thinking about this particular issue as you're watching the film. So at that point, it's not really escapist anymore, perhaps, if you know what I mean.
Does that take away from the sheer kind of entertainment, roller coaster kind of value that people often want out of a science fiction film, especially big budget and kind of big effect science fiction films?
Yeah, some people can just turn that stuff off and they won't even notice it, right? Like, they'll just go and they'll see this action film, because that's the other giant element of this, that it's an action film. It's a gritty, rough action film. Not everybody's going to enjoy it. It's a little rougher than most people might like to see. You know, it's the language is rougher, the violence is rougher. But if you're kind of paying attention to the content of what you're looking at, you know, that is going to drag you out of just a pure escapist experience. But whether or not you should be having a pure escapist experience at all is a whole other question, I guess.
What's the story?
The story is that a group of people have created a space station. On the space station, they have a piece of technology that basically cures everything. So push of the button, hop in this little thing, and you don't have cancer, you don't have any possible thing, broken limbs, anything. But they've kept that for themselves, and it kind of gives them agelessness up in space. Meanwhile, down on Earth, everybody else is just left, and the infrastructure is falling apart, there's too many people, it's overcrowded, and people's lives are miserable. But up there, it's very, you know, posh and nice, and then you've got like this disparity. What you have then is this little boy named Max who grows up, and it's a Matt Damon character, and he ends up, through a series of events, needing to go to that space station because he's going to die if he doesn't get there. And through the course of that, he ends up having maybe a change of heart, or at least kill two birds with one stone, and maybe he could help other people too, and maybe bring some of this medical technology they have there to everyone else as well. So that's kind of like the basic story of what you're looking at.
Is there a moral center? Is there kind of an axis around which the moral compass of this film turns? If so, what is it?
Well, yeah, when you're watching it, if you're, let's say you're a little Lutheran kid, had grown up a Lutheran kid, and you know your catechism, you're watching it, you're going to pick out things, particularly things that kind of seem a little bit like Luther's explanation of the ninth and tenth commandments, or even like the commandments on murder and theft. And just this kind of notion that, you know, people aren't looking out after each other in this movie. And it really becomes a problem on both sides. The rich are taking advantage of the poor, and the poor are looking to take advantage of the rich. So on both ends of things, they aren't working to help keep each other's goods and possessions or to look out after each other's needs. There's a real lack of that. There's a lot of selfish motives all the way through the whole film. And of course, that's great for drama because it drives the story. But at the same time, when you're watching it, you're thinking, you know, a part of you, like if you're a Christian, you're going to be thinking, wow, like this is super selfish. A lot of coveting, a lot of stealing, a lot of like disregard or negligence for people's well-being. That's kind of all in the mix as well.
Is there any kind of overt religious? One of the things often scoured out of science fiction, simply on the assumption that religion will die the death of the dinosaurs by the time we get there, is religion. Is there any of it in Elysium?
It's interesting because I remember mentioning that, you know, in a previous review that in like the Star Trek movie from this year and the previous Star Trek movie that came out, there were these little nods to some religious stuff, right? This movie does kind of scour everything out, and it's really weird how they do it because in one of the opening scenes, you have a nun, right? But then you never, ever hear about Jesus ever anywhere in the rest of the entire movie. And even the nun, when she's talking, and it's like they're having confession absolution, and the nun doesn't bring up Jesus either, right? And even in the swearing, now maybe there might have been one or two because there's a lot of swearing, a lot of, like, coarse language. There might have been one or two times where they used Jesus' name in vain. I was listening for it, and I couldn't even find it. Now, usually that's not something that you want to hear, but at the very least, like a movie like The Matrix, Jesus' name was used in it enough that you knew that it was grounded in a reality in which Jesus was a part of that. And this, the filmmaker seems to want to just take Jesus completely out. And it's kind of like, if you're going to have an orphanage, man, maybe you're going to have a nun. Send somebody over from central casting or something. But yeah, that's the way it seems to be.
We'll take a break when we come back. A few more minutes with Pastor Ted Giese, reviewing the movie Elysium on this Friday afternoon, August the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor or a deaconess? Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, invites you to prayerfully consider a weekend event where you attend classes, talk with students and faculty, and worship at Kramer Chapel. Prayerfully Consider is October 10th through the 12th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary. For more information, call 1-800-481-2155 or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving Word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at MountZionGreenfield.org.
Would you like to help your son or daughter achieve their maximum athletic potential? Hi, this is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio. My friend, fellow parishioner, and certified athletic trainer, Kevin Reisick, is the owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. Arch Fitness specializes in sports performance training for middle school to collegiate level athletes. For more information, call Kevin at 618-670-6952. 618-670-6952.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're reviewing the movie Elysium, starring Matt Damon. Pastor Ted Giese is our guest for the next few minutes. Then Audio Open Lines will be going through some more of the audio from the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, where Mark Hansen, the current presiding bishop, was unseated by Elizabeth Eaton, and we will be hearing the better part of a press conference that she gave after the election last week, see what she thinks about the future of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Audio Open Lines in about 5 minutes. Sometimes science fiction movies choose their titles just because they sound cool or they have something to do with the plot. This one is a bit intriguing. What do you find in the title of Elysium?
Well, Elysium, like you said, like they definitely don't generally randomly choose titles. So Elysium was one where I heard that title and I thought, well, I wonder how this is going to play out, because Elysium in Greek mythology and basically the Greek religious system of the Hellenistic period is a part of the underworld. It's part of where you go when you die, and it's part of Hades. So the Christian will recognize the word Hades because we often just associate with hell, but the Greeks wouldn't have done that. So Hades has three compartments. There's the Asphodel Meadows, where all of the average people go. There's Tartarus, where the truly evil go. And then there's there's Elysium, which was the place where if you were epically heroic, then you would go to Elysium. And that's kind of connected into this film in that it's this somewhat unattainable place. The other thing in Greek mythology and like Greek literature and stuff that was so important was the idea of their heroes going to the underworld and coming back. So there's like different people like Hercules and people that do this. And you have Matt Damon's character, this Max, who leaves Earth and goes to Elysium, right? And then like that's kind of part of this whole mythos. So in a way, it's all kind of not so much put into a Christian context as much as the film is put into like a classical Greek context. The weird thing, though, is if you're watching it and you go, okay, I know that Elysium is part of Hades, or if you discover that it is, well, Jesus has lots of things to say about Hades. And he when he talks about Hades, he talks about Hades as being something that he has dominion over. So in Revelation, Jesus says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." So this is something, and then another point, he talks about how Hades is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Like, so even if you were a Greek person at that time, or if you were a Jewish person who had knew things about Greek culture, and you heard about this, then the Greek person is going to think Hades includes this place where certain people, because of how good they are and how good they lived their lives, went to that place as a reward, Elysium. And here Jesus comes along and says, no. In fact, Hades is going to give up its dead, and all the dead are going to be judged, truly judged by the one judge who actually judges everything, and that's God. So that's very interesting. It's another thing entirely when you're watching this film, that if you make the connection between Elysium and Hades, and Elysium does kind of show up in other movies. If you're watching Gladiator, Russell Crowe has a line about Elysium in it, and it'll show up Elysian Fields. People hear about this. So if somebody makes that connection, it's a very interesting thing, particularly because the nature of this movie being so dystopic, and because it's futuristic, there's this kind of eschatological, kind of end times, kind of angst about the future. And of course, when you discover that the filmmaker thinks, well, don't even wait for the future to be angsty, you can be angsty about right now and what's going on currently, then it all becomes very interesting. There's a sense of judgment on the bad activities that are going on. So that gets back into the morality play end of it. The part that's really missing, though, is much of any kind of sense of grace. Like, I don't want to give away the ending of the film, because it is quite an action film, if you like action films. But that's the thing that seems to be missing is there's just the tiniest little tiny bit of it, but I can't give it away. I can't even talk about it because it's so small. And if you do go see it, I don't want to ruin it for you.
Finally, you say that kind of big picture, it's a bit of a mixed-up film. What do you mean by that?
Well, a lot of action films, like, there is a desire to make it kind of fun. Like, that. Like, I know it's kind of weird that that's a thing, but they want to have, like, a rip-roaring, good action-adventure time. And that's not... This movie could have been that, but it's not that. And it could have been more like District 9, which, again, is kind of a social commentary thing. But what would have had to have happened was it would have had to have spent more time on some character development to make that happen, to make it into a real solid drama. So it's kind of caught between wanting to be two things, and that's really where it kind of doesn't fully achieve its potential, I guess, as a film. That's kind of what I felt. And, you know, some people are going to enjoy it, other people might not, but it's doing well in the box office. It's carrying on, it's making money. I think a lot of people are going to see it. And, yeah, Bourne Identity, it's not as good as the Bourne Identity movies.
Few are, though. a movie for kids?
No, absolutely not. It's not one for little kids, and even most adults are going to find it to be a little rough around the edges. The violence in it is, some of it's very repetitive, but some of it is stark, and there's a lot of really grim stuff, and it's kind of like squirm in your seat stuff in a couple spots. Some people thrive on that. They love that kind of thing. But even, for instance, like, there's not really any sex in the movie, but there are, like, repeatedly and relentlessly over quite a long stretch of time, there's, like, a threat of rape. So there isn't you don't see a rape happen, but it's the threat of it is there, and it's not pleasant. So this isn't exactly a fun movie, you know, like, but it is kind of a hard-hitting action film. So if you don't care if your movies are fun or not, or if you kind of like the dark edge of things, then this is going to be more up your alley, but really this isn't light fare. What often happens, we're in August, right? So the blockbuster movies are kind of petering out, and August is one where they kind of put all sorts of things that don't really fit into any other time of the year. And I think that maybe partly that's why Elysium ended up here. They kind of hedged their bets. They've made a lot of money on it, but it's not a popcorn movie exactly. A lot of people will enjoy it, but it's going to be a little rough around the edges for a lot of people.
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts, associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And you can read his reviews, his movie reviews, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much.
Thank you.